Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. It was a mixed gathering of Jews and Muslims. Every person likes to be on the winning end. He will like for himself, for his family, for his close and near ones, to be on the winning end. To see himself on the losing end is unmanageable. So if someone is going to speak good about himself, then the next person will come to his defense and he'll speak about himself. So I want to seem and I want to appear like the winner. So you'll speak about your father, I'll speak about my father. If you speak about your family, I'll speak about my family. You speak about your country, I'll speak about my country. Nobody wants to seem like the person that is inferior, that's lost, that's defeated. That's natural with man. So the Jews that were seated there, they said, well, we are better. Our religion is before your religion. Our Nabi is before your Nabi. Conclusion, we are better than you. Because our religion came before your religion. Our Nabi came before your Nabi. Our Kitab came before your Kitab. So conclusion, who is first, he is best. So the Muslim, he will come to his defense. He will say, well, our Nabi came after your Nabi. Our religion came after your religion. And our deen came to cancel all the previous religions. Conclusion, we are better than you. So the verse of the Quran Sharif was revealed on that occasion. لَيْسَ بِأَمَانِيِّكُمْ وَلَا أَمَانِيِّ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ. That this decision is not based on your aspirations, on your thinking, on your rationale, it's not based. Unlike the previous religions, where there is a religion, you bring faith in a person, then that person will take on all your sins onto his head. He will atone for all your wrongs. What you need to do is believe in him, then he will become a kafara, he will become an atonement for all your sins, and he will ensure your salvation. So that is one religion, went into one path, they went into one extreme. And the other extreme was, they said that, well, religion is something that is very exclusive. And it is only for the pleasure and the comfort is for an exclusive party, based on race, based on exclusivity. And the exclusivity is based on the race. So you have to be of that race to be eligible for that type of comfort and that type of position. So one denomination, this is their rationale, this is their thinking. The other, this is their thinking. But if you come to see, then this is not a faith rationale. Because in this world as well, in no system, there is not a system in this world that says, well, he'll commit a sin and he becomes responsible for his crime. Do you see any system that works like that? That this man commits the wrong, he goes on committing the wrong, and that man goes on heaping up his crimes and paying for his crime. You don't hear that. In any place, any denomination, any religion, any system, the whole system will go wrong. If we have that type of situation and that type of law, there will be no system. Then I can go and borrow millions and millions and say, no, it's collected from that person. And you can kill anybody, any amount of people, say, no, that person is responsible. So will there be any system? There will be no system. So that system can't work here. And by the same token, it will be unfair by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well, that He goes on heaping the crimes of the other people, their wrongs, and He must heap it, He must collect all their wrongs. So how does it work? So will there be any discipline? Will there be any order? Will there be any system? So there will be a group of people, so they will just go on a rampage, do as they want. And the other system also can't work. Why it can't work? It's because you have to belong to that race. If you don't belong to that race, then with the bad luck. So then what's the point of then being obedient to Allah Ta'ala? What's the point of submission? When there's exclusive rights for Jannat, exclusive rights to be eligible for salvation, then is there any need to be obedient to Allah Ta'ala? No need. Because it's exclusivity. You have to be belonging to that class, to that race. You don't belong to that race, then you don't have that rights. So Allah Ta'ala is demolishing both these rationales. These standards, they are demolished. If these were the standards, then this world couldn't operate. In this world also, you will say that there is equal opportunity. Don't you say it's equal opportunity? It's an opportunity for him, it's an opportunity for you. You work and you strive, you will gain. But to say now these rights are only for this race, then any person will say you, any system will say you, that this can't work. It's only belonging to this race. You have to be this race to qualify for this type of opportunity. If you don't belong to this type of a race, so you don't qualify for that opportunity. The whole business system will all collapse. Because you have it that people of different races have different goodness in them. Someone is good at something, someone is good at something else. One race, they are good in accounting and mathematics. Some race, they are good with their hands. Some race, they are good with their strength and power and might. So if you are going to confine the goodness to one race, then the system can't work. The world will come to a standstill. So these opportunities are thrown by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala equally to all. كُلَّن نُمِدُّ هَاُولَاءِ وَهَاُولَاءِ مِنْ أَطَاءِ رَبِّكَ. These favors, we bless it freely to all. To these people and to these people. All people we bless it. So your rationale is not right. Your rationale is not right. Both rationale are unfair. Unfair rationales. And then the irony of the whole thing is this. That you are unfair in your reasoning. And you want Allah Ta'ala also to base His rationale on your unfair reasoning. That's the irony. You are unreasonable. Your rationale is not right. You don't have the right standards. And then you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to succumb to your wrong standards. See how you complicate the whole wrong. You went on a wrong tangent. On an extreme you went. And what you want? Allah ta'ala also must succumb to your rationale, to your standard. Now can there be anybody more just than Allah ta'ala? More fair than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? There can't be. You want Allah Ta'ala to succumb to your unfair system. And the base of the wrong is, one went on the path of nafs. Now, there's a free license to do what you want, because Isa alayhi salam, he is atoned for everybody's wrong. So there's a free license for everybody. Go and commit wrong, do whatever you want, because he has taken everybody's crime onto his head. So, what did you tell people? You told people, now there's a free license to do what you want. Gay will be right, abortion will be right, everything will be right. There won't be a wrong in this world, everything will be right. And the other part is a path of exclusivity and racist, right? So what are you telling the other people? You are telling other people, see, that there is no hope for you. There is no hope, there is no luck for you. Because you didn't belong to this race. When you don't belong to this race, there is no hope for you. So now, both these standards can't work in this world. And they are unfair standards. When they are unfair standards, you want to pin this type of rationale to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are you doing exactly? They left the religion apart. They tore the religion to pieces. يُحَرِّفُونَ الْكَلِيمَ عَمْ مَوَادِي. And they took unfair things as their rationale and their standards. they took their race as the standard. So this is also unfair, this is also unfair. So the religion is a secondary matter. The more important thing is, do you belong to this race? If you belong to this race, then you are eligible. If you don't belong to the race, then you're going to Jahannam. So these both these rationale are not right. If you look at the essence of this both denominations, this is how it does work. That there's a, on one side they are saying you do as you want, because Isa alayhi salam, he has taken everybody's crime, he's going to atone for everybody. And the other side is total despondency, that you have to belong to this race, then do as you want afterwards. As long as you belong to this race, then you do as you want. Then in the old days, and they forced in people into the race. You give so many millions. Today's terms, give so many bars. Then you can come into this. You give so much and you come into the system. You don't give so much, well, then you remain out. Over the years, and nothing went out. Now you can't identify who's true, who's not true, who's coming from that family, from that race, who's not coming from that family and race, you don't know. So both these denominations, they collapsed, they can't work, and they can't stand to justice. The standards of justice, they can't stand. So Allah Ta'ala says, لَيْسَ بِأَمَانِيِّكُمْ وَلَا أَمَانِيِّ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ. This standard is not going to be based upon your aspirations and your hopes. The decision is not going to be based on your standards. It's not your rationale that will work. You think it's your rationale, you think that it is your desires, what you would desire, that would prevail. So that is not the thing that's going to prevail. So we smashed out from our systems as well. Forget your racism. Forget the feeling of attribution. So I belong to Isa alayhi salam, I belong to this. So I have secured my security. So leave your attribution. Leave your lineage. Your attribution and your lineage, forget these things here. Because these are unfair things. They are things that were innovated by man. And they were innovated by man for their own convenience, for their own expediency. To give them that license to do what they want, man created this type of, he innovated this type of rationale. So that now he's free to do as he wants. So Allah says, no. We in Islam, we talk of individual responsibility. Each individual is responsible for himself. You committed something, you're responsible. You worked for it, you deserve it. And you committed the crime, then you are also deserving the punishment. So you worked for it, you worked for the good, you deserve the reward. And if you fail, then you must also suffer the consequence, both ways. The same standard works here, the same standard works by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As though this world, like it's a miniature reflection of the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this is a system here, then this is a system that you will find there as well. لَيْسَ بِأَمَانِيِّكُمْ وَلَا أَمَانِيِّ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ. So it is not based upon any wrong rationale, then it's based upon the pure rationale. What is the rationale? مَنْ يَعْمَلْ سُوءًا يُجْزَ بِهِ. The slightest wrong that you do, you will see the consequence for it. You will be requited for the smallest wrong that you do. You do a wrong, you bear the consequence. I can't expect me to commit wrong, and then he must bear the consequence. Why? He must do the wrong, then he must bear the consequence. I do the wrong, I must bear the consequence. But for me to believe that I must do the wrong and he must bear the consequence, obviously it's not a fair rationale. As though you feel that you have a standard of your own. You have a standard of your own. So this whole wrong belief started where it commenced from. It commences from this feeling of exclusivity, pride, arrogance, that I am something superior, stemming from shaitan, see, that I am exclusive. I got exclusive rights. So then the brethren of shaitan also, they adopted that same shaitanic attitude and shaitanic rationale. I'm exclusive. I can do as I please. So Allah says, مَنْ يَعْمَلْ سُوءَ يُجْزَ بِهِ. See how our reasoning go wrong. everything starts from belief. Like they have got this belief here, right? From this belief of theirs, everything sprouts out. So if you got the right belief, then the right product will sprout out. But if you got the wrong belief, then you will get the wrong sprouting out. So it stems from belief. Then what are the important ingredients in this belief that will help and assist to bring about the right type of product? Then in proportion to your sincerity, in proportion to your truth, you will find rightness spreading throughout yourself. But you need to be sincere. In proportion to your rightness, righteousness, in proportion to your fairness, your sincerity, you are very sincere about what you are doing. You are very truthful in what you are doing. In every respect, you are truthful. And not only truthful, but you are absolutely sincere. One is being truthful, in other words, that's more counted as an outer dimension. And one is sincere, that's more as though the inner dimension of man. So within your heart, you are clean. Outside, you are clean. Both ways, you are clean. If there's a sincerity within, there's a sincerity without. It is not such that the outside is something else and within is something else. So the dimension, both the outer and the inner dimensions, one is complementing the other. So this is what Allah wants to see. So in proportion to the truth and sincerity, will you see the goodness of the product. The product will be so good. So then goodness will prevail over the person, and then it will translate into good conduct. Now you see, good conduct, good ways. He's fair, he's sincere, he's honest. But where it started from? It started from faith. That faith, then in respect to that sincerity in the faith, the truth in the faith, and that truth and the sincerity made him an epitome of truthness, of honesty, of righteousness and virtue. And then in all his conduct, all his ways, you saw that. Whatever you saw in him, just truth. One story of Muzaffar Hussain Sahib Rahmatullahi comes to mind. Two stories of his come to my mind. He went to study. But he's coming from a family of righteousness and virtue. When there is virtue, righteousness surrounding you, then that virtue and righteousness rubs onto you. In this evil surrounding you, then it's going to be evil that's going to be rubbing upon you. One woman was asking, Mawlana, why are you so hard on girls not taking books randomly, reading books randomly, why are you so against it? Like how it is customary nowadays. No, she's just reading a book, so what's wrong? See, immediately we come to our defense. What we need to understand, that Islam is very, very strict upon company. Very strict. Ibrahim alayhi salam said, Inna bura'au minkum wa mimma ta'abuduna min dunillah. I break away from you and all your systems, your corrupt systems, I break away. That is why we say, وَاتَّبَعَ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا. The way of Ibrahim al-Islam, and this is what has been spoken on this month, around these 2 months until Hajj, we speak about this, we listen to this all the time. But what were the most two most glaring features in Ibrahim al-Islam? One is to say, مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا. That he broke away from every other system. Every other system, as though he said, I move away from everything, and I move on to Allah Ta'ala completely. I break away from people's religions. I break away from people's culture. I break away from people's thinking. I break away from people's ways and fashions. Then I separate from all this and I hold on to the religion of Allah Ta'ala. The culture that Allah Ta'ala wants. The system that Allah Ta'ala wants. The thinking that Allah Ta'ala wants. The ways and fashions and styles that Allah Ta'ala wants. Everything I've broken away. That is what is meant by breaking away. Otherwise, you haven't broken away completely. In some respects, you have broken away. But have you broken away in every respect? So Ibrahim alayhi salam was an epitome of this. That he is broken away. Allah Ta'ala bears testimony. Millata Ibrahim Hanifa. That if he broke away, then he broke away completely. And to show that he broke away completely, he broke those idols. فَجَعَلَهُمْ دُوذَاذًا. What was that epitome of filth and corruption, he went and broke it. And then he didn't only break that, but he broke away from them as well. He broke away that thing that was the epitome of corruption, he went and destroyed that, and he destroyed the relationship. Now, there's no relationship. Bura'au minkum. وَبَدَى بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةُ وَالْبَغْضَى. This enmity and hatred between us. Finish. Your customs, your ways, your religion, your system, everything. Then I'm not only selective. So no, but you know that these Christians, they wear this type of clothing, you know, that fashion, I like it. The three-quarter pants I like. And the jeans of this I like. You know? And the t-shirt I like. So there's not going to be any selection. You're not going to be selective. Then will you be called Millata Ibrahim Hanifa. In your namaz, when you're starting off, إِنِّي وَجَّهْتُ وَجْهِيَ لِلَّذِي فَطَرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ حَنِيفًا. Don't you say that. But what do you mean by this Hanifa? This is what is meant by Hanifa. That you broke away completely from every other system and you went on to the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what is called Hanifa. So you had this Hazma Muzaffar Hussain Sahib rahmatullahi. And about the fourth generation, he's coming in the lineage of Hazrat Muhammad Ilyas Sahib rahmatullahi. This family was quite blessed. They had some luminaries, personalities, like they made world history. You know. And not only now, even in the past they made world history. They did such service, such khidma they had rendered, as though they did, you know, a great service for mankind. But now, we need to look what was the salient features in their lives. You look at this personality, Muzaffar Hussain Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, and he's gone to study in Delhi, under Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, the son of Shah Waliullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, is going to learn and acquire hadith from him. In the old days, now you're talking of over 200 years ago, right? They went like this, boarding schools and all, you didn't have all these type of things. So, what happened, mostly people would stay in some apartment in the masjid. Masjid would have a small room or something, they would stay there, they would live there, or they would stay and live in the masjid. And then, the people of the town would volunteer, well, I will feed 2 students, he will feed 3 students, I will feed 10 students. People will volunteer, and that work will continue. See, Islam is the deen of Allah Ta'ala, and in every era, Allah Ta'ala will create some system. He'll create some system, it is your honor if you got some type of share in supporting the system. Allah will create a system to support his deen. For his deen to move, he'll create some system. But if you had been a spanner, and you had been a spanner, it's your disadvantage. And you had been an assistance, then it's your advantage. This thing's gonna flow, you're not gonna stop it. And it's not you that's gonna work it, he's gonna work it. However he wants to work it, he'll get it to work. So don't you think that you will stop it and you'll stop. And don't you think that you will aid it, then it will work. It's going to continue. You come in, it's your luck. And you stop it, you stop, then it's your disadvantage. So someone is keeping 3 students, someone is feeding 10 students, someone is 15 students. No. Mulana would get the food daily, and he will eat the roti, but he will leave the gravy, the salan, whatever gravy it is. So one day, second day, third day, about a week or so passed. So Mulana's wife is complaining to Mulana, yeah, now, you know, today's students, you must get chips for them, you know, you must get chops for them, get steaks for them and kebab for them. Then they will eat. Now this is because we are, you know, we can't afford a grand style. So whatever simple food we've got, dar, diwar, etc., we are presenting it to the student and he's not eating it. Yeah, you will start giving this burgers and steaks and all that, then they will eat. So Mulana obviously is a man. A woman will jump to conclusion very, very quickly. So Mulana says, no, you don't jump to conclusion. The right thing is to go and find out. Don't jump to conclusion. Perhaps he's got some stomach pain, some ailment, he can't eat some things. Maybe the spice is too spicy or something. His stomach doesn't agree, but the right thing is, let me go and ask him. But to jump to conclusion that, oh, he likes this type of food, he's coming from this type of a class, etc., that may not be the right thing. So anyway, he went and inquired from the student, Mawlana Muzaffar Hussain Sahib, that is still a student now, I see you've been eating the bread. Maybe, are you sick? Aren't you feeling well? Must we prepare something else for you? What's the problem exactly? So he turns around and he says, okay, you see, the gravy that is prepared in Delhi, there is something that is used to create a little bit of a sour feeling, you know. Like how in our food, when they prepare, then they will squeeze some lemon or some vinegar or some sour milk. These are things just added to bring that sour feeling, right? In India, in that zamana, what they were using amchur. Amchur is something from a green mango, you know, green mango. So the green mango also got that sour feeling. So some extract from that green mango is taken and that's added to the gravy. So it brings that sour feeling, how you use amli, you know. How we use amli in our amli, how we use tomatoes. What do we use tomatoes for? Tomatoes, amli, used for the same sour feeling. Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah used to say, Turshi dar ta'am, na dar kalam. They should have small words, you know, small sentences, for prayer, small quotations. But that quotations would bring about revolution in people's lives. Provided you came with sincerity and you're listening comfortably. What he says, that a little bit of sourness is appreciated in the food. Vinegar, sour milk, tomatoes, tomato sauce, achar or some type of chutney. All this is appreciated. Sourness is appreciated in food, but not in words. In words, not accepted. In words, he says, it's so dangerous, that if you got a whole container of food, you know, and a container of milk, and just added half a liter of lemon juice into that milk, what happens? Everything is destroyed, isn't it? Can you sell that now as milk? So you see this sourness and how it destroys. We think, you know, I got so much, but then with all the good, you've got some sourness on your tongue. So the good that you have accumulated, all has been wiped off. Just a little bit of sourness. So sourness, that's in food, it's alright. It's enjoyable. It enhances that food. You want to eat more. But that sourness in your speech, not acceptable at all. See, sourness in speech is not acceptable. And sourness in your food is acceptable. It enhances the food. So put things in the proper places, they'll be appreciated. Your hair is in the right place, you appreciate it, right? Nice, dark, black, thick hair, right, on your head, on your beard, you appreciate it. It enhances your beauty, right? Your skin is nice, the complexion is nice, right color, light complexion, light texture, right? So you appreciate it. Right? When the skin is in its place, when the hair is on its place. But remove that skin and remove that hair and leave it out there. Now it looks very ugly, nauseous. Hey, what happened here? Someone's skin is lying there on your bedside, on your wardrobe or your dressing table, right? Will you sleep with that thing? See, you've got, you know, half a meter of your skin lying there on your dressing table. Can you sleep with that? You won't want to sleep one day with it. So you won't bury the thing. It's not in the right place. In the right place about the most beautiful. But in the wrong place, most nauseous, most ugly. You don't want to see that thing. Nonetheless, so he approached the student. The student says, see, in Delhi, this is what they use. They use that mango extract just to enhance the food. And the trade of the mangoes don't take place correctly in Delhi. How they do it? They buy the crop in advance. Advance 2 years. 2 years crop you are buying. Whereas what are you purchasing? Is there any mango on the tree? There's no mango on the tree. Now, they don't do mangoes like how we do in our backyards here. They do it proper. They cultivate mangoes. It's like a proper farming thing they do. Millions of tons of mango they do every year, right? So they're doing it as a business. When they're doing it as a business, so now I'm a little bit of a lazy farmer, so I sell you my crop. I got the trees and all that. I sell you my crop for 2 years. Now what have I sold? Is there any crop there? There's no crop there. The chances is that I get a very weak crop. Or I may get a bumper crop. Or I may have nothing that year. 1 year I may have nothing. So who incurs the loss? The purchaser incurs the loss. What has he achieved? Has he got anything? So that is called bayul gharar. This is deception. And Islam is against deception. What did you get? It's pure deception, isn't it? You bought something, but it's deception. So the student explained this to Maulana, you know, this is what's happening in Delhi. And this is the mango that you're buying from the bazaar. Then it's coming to the consumer. The consumer is converting it into an extract. Then it's poured into a gravy to enhance the gravy. Then that's what is served. So really, it's haram upon haram here. How can I eat this? I came to study deen here. And deen requires, wattaqullah wa yuallimukumullah. You're going to be restraining yourself. Allah Ta'ala will progress you. He will let you progress. But you don't have the taqwa, you don't have the righteousness, it's just the word that you have taken, and you expect the progress to come. How is it going to happen? So you need to take the word, but you need to take the work as well. The word is one thing, and the work that comes with it. What about the work that comes with it? You heard, for example, respecting the parents is a very great thing, right? The sawab that you get. So you got all the hadith, everything about parents, but you swear them, you abuse them, you insult them, you talk bad words in the presence or in the absence, see? Is it complete? Is it acceptable? When it comes to parents' rights, we all understand it very quickly. Yeah? Because we are parents, so we understand it very, very quickly. So, wattaqullah wa yuallimukumullah. You fear Allah Ta'ala will then teach you. He will teach you. But you fear Him. You restrain. When you're supposed to restrain, put up the brakes, you put the brakes. Anyway, Maulana goes back to his wife. See, I told you that he mustn't jump to conclusion. Allah Pak sent a waliullah in our house. He's a waliullah. He's not eating of that food. Really, he's a wali. He saw this and this entire week that he's been eating just dry bread. How many of us can accept that? One day make sabr, second day, third day, say, no, hey, it's enough, man. This one is too much for me. But the third day is too much. So, no, some Maulana says permissible, perhaps, you know, there's some hila there and something, some loophole. And somehow we'll try and justify it and get that thing working. What did happen? Say, you know, hey, I'm going to get depressed. Just to save myself from the depression, I'll make tawbah and I'll just eat this thing here. But not to eat that thing for that entire duration, that talks itself for the man's righteousness and his virtue. You see, ilm is incomplete. Like I said, you learned all the hadith about the rights of the parents, but you're not showing respect. So do you appreciate this type of ilm? That was one part, that ilm was just a vehicle. So I was explaining to this woman that phoned up, you know, that why do you speak so much against his books? So I explained to her, see, most of these books and most of the media is prepared by who? Either Satanist, Zionist, atheist, right? Or it's a Christian, and Christian by name. No Christianity, just by name is a Christian. Most of these books are prepared by them, right? When they are prepared by them, then when you are reading a book, really, what happens? You are sitting in the company of the person that wrote the book. He is talking to you via his book. Through his book, he is talking to you. He is communicating all his thoughts, his ways, his understanding. He is communicating all that through the book. So the book is just the mediator, but he is talking to you. So you are sitting in his company, and because you're reading his books, you are impressed about his books for you reading it. If you weren't impressed, then would you have been reading them? You're reading them because you're impressed. You're looking at a show, right? You're impressed about it, you're fascinated about it, therefore you want to read it, therefore you want to view it. Had you not been fascinated, had you not been interested, would you have been reading these things here? So what's going to happen? After a period of time, that person's thinking, his ways, his rationale, his reasoning, all that rubs onto you. Then that corruption that's in him seems to be the right thing in your side. And you don't even realize it. It was a total corrupt system. Now I'm thinking that corruption to be right. Now you get a whole group, a whole gang of Muslims who says, no, we must fight for gay rights. And that is proven from the Quran Sharif. And you see where they come from. They've been reading all this junk, all this filth they've been reading. And when they began to read that filth, they began to feel that filth, na'uzubillah, the Quran Sharif also is speaking about filth. That's what they feel. Innahum unasu yatatahharun. See where it starts off from. So it starts off from all this junk. Then you want to read the thing. Then most of the people that are writing Islamic magazines are none the better. They don't have Islam in them. Most of them. I don't say all of them, but most of them are the same. They don't have Islam in them. If you look into their personal lives, that they don't display Islam, then what are they writing? Someone is writing, he doesn't have a topi, no beard, but he's writing for Islam. That is just outer Islam. If they are ashamed to even express the outer Islam, then what guarantee do you have, what confidence do you have about the inner Islam? They would rather identify with the system with the kafir, where he won't wear his topi, he won't wear an Islamic garb, he's identifying with that, than identifying with a Muslim clothing. So what confidence, what faith can you have in that person that you read his article? What Islam has he got? No. I'll go to someone who's got the commodity. Right? He doesn't have the commodity, what is he going to give me? I'll go to the person who's got the commodity, but he doesn't have the commodity, will I go to you? I won't come to the person. So if the person has Islam, you can go to him. But he doesn't have Islam, what is he going to give you? What is he going to dispense? He's going to dispense something else, not Islam. Some modernism, some creation of his own, what? Some fiction of his imagination, not Islam. So most of these things that we see circulating in most of masjids got no Islam in it. One, they get about 3/4 of the page of the books, 70%, 80% is all advertisements. And advertisements and 20 banks they are talking about. So what are they talking about? They're not talking about Islam, they're talking about something else. Now we feel that's our Islam. Now you don't blame them entirely. You don't blame them entirely. I was speaking to one friend, you know. So I was telling him in passing, okay, but you know, see this Yahud and this Christians, what they have done. They have made all these entertainment centers and amusement parks right in the Haramain. You know, distracting all the Muslims, the Hajis, people coming for Umrah, they're getting distracted. So his answer to me was, and I respect that answer, he says, no, you don't blame them entirely. You blame our people as well. These people are businessmen, right? They are businessmen. When they are businessmen, they are seeing where's the business. When they are looking at it as a business, they see what you want. You want this type of amusement centers and all that, we will create it for you. We will make it, we will provide it. We are interested in the money. We are interested in the wrong and the vice that's in it. Our interest is money. So if we see money in this, then we will do it. So why do you lump the sin onto us entirely? It's exact shaitanic mentality. Shaitan says, فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ مَا لِيَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ إِلَّا أَنْ دَعَوْتُكُمْ فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي. I only invited you. But you responded of your own accord. I didn't grab you by your necks and brought you into vice. I just invited you and you came in. So you also bear the individual responsibility. Shaitan also is talking about individual responsibility, but on the day of Qiyamah. Yeah, no, no, don't worry, everything is working. I will stand for you. But there when he's face to face with Allah, I said, no, you stand for yourself, I stand for myself. You will roast and toast yourself, I will roast and toast myself. Then he doesn't want to take on anybody there. But he can see what's happening. He can see the brunt of his action. Talking of Mawlana Muzaffar Hussain Sahib Rahmatullah, you know, we talk of Millat Ibrahim Hanifa, Hanifa, break away from everything and come on to the path of Allah Ta'ala, as though you're on the side of Allah Ta'ala. You know, you're taking sides. Whose side do you take? I take the side of Allah Ta'ala. In my thinking, in my reasoning, in my operation, in my dealings, in everything, I take the side of Allah Ta'ala. Then I can call myself Millat Ibrahim Hanifa. Otherwise, I can't call myself Millat Ibrahim Hanifa. A little bit Ibrahim alayhi salam, a little bit of the right, a little bit of mixture. I give you 20 liters of milk and put 1 teaspoon of pisab inside. Acceptable. Not acceptable. The same in all our systems, in our, you know, business, in whatever we are doing, let it be pure, clean. Separate the vice from the virtue. Separate it. Anything that is doubtful, not right, leave it out. Muzaffar Hussain Sahib Rahmatullah, his contemporary, his student, his class fellow, is Nawab Qutbuddin Sahib. This Mazahirul Haq, the translation of Mishkat, Mazahirul Haq, that's a translation of Nawab Qutbuddin Sahib originally. And thereafter the Urdu was improved, because that was the ancient Urdu, or 170 years ago, that was the ancient Urdu. And then that same Urdu was revised. So this Nawab Qutbuddin is a contemporary of Mawlana Muzaffar Hussain Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. And he has made a big feast, arranged a big feast, Dawud, by his place. And amongst the people that he's invited, one was he invited his ustad, Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib or someone like that, he invited him. And he invited Shah Abdul Ghani Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali. Then he invited Maulana Muzaffar Hussain Sahib, how can I forget him? Now everybody else came, the ustads and all came, these other class fellows came, all great buzrugs. But the only person that didn't attend and respond to the dawat was Maulana Muzaffar Hussain Sahib. So now Qutbuddin got upset about the whole thing. My class fellow, so dear, we were so close together, and he's not responding to my dawat, but my food is haram. You know how we get upset? We just say, we blurt out things, my food is haram, that he can't come to my dawat. Nonetheless, he complained to the ustad. That's the best recourse. Say the ustad, no arguments, right? If I'm going to say him, he'll make 10 stories. But the ustad calls him, he'll have to respond. So he tells the ustad, but you know what, my food is haram. That everybody, you people could eat from my food, but this Muzaffar Hussain, he don't want to eat from my food. He doesn't want to eat, he's not responding. Anyway, so the ustad calls Maulana Muzaffar Hussain Sahib. Initially, because of the ustad relationship, the ustad can talk a little bit freely. Mauli Muzaffar Hussain, kya tujhe taqwa ka heza ho gaya? You are plagued with taqwa. You are plagued, you got a diarrhea of taqwa. Just taqwa, taqwa, everywhere taqwa. What? This Nawab Qutbuddin's food is haram, that you're not eating of it. The ustads can speak. Ustads got the right to speak. Nowadays students, but now students are ustads now. As Hazrat Muhammad used to say, that now for the father to exist, he has to become the son. For the husband to exist, he has to become the wife. The ustad to exist, he needs to become the student, see? And what he's saying is right, because nobody knows their place. That's why the world is not looking so beautiful and exciting. Because, like I said, the skin is out of its place, the hair is out of its place. So, the more you're going to do it, the more ugly it's going to seem. And the more it comes into place, it falls into place, that it looks nice, it looks beautiful. You take it out of its place, it's not going to look beautiful at all. Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi says, see, these systems are all getting confused, all corrupting, all corrupt. And because of that corruption, so we begin to feel that the corruption is right. But we don't know, we don't even realize that we are adding to the confusion, to the corruption, and the nausea of this world is becoming more nauseated. It's becoming more and more ugly. It's becoming more less exciting, less interesting. You don't feel interested in anything. Why? Because things have been removed from their proper places. They have been displaced. When they have been displaced, so that excitement, that novelty, that beauty of life is gone. But you bring it back into its place. Woman supposed to be in this place here, leave the woman where they were supposed to be. But you go and throw them out of the house and you say, you are equal to us. And you must rub shoulders with you. And obviously, this world become nauseating. Now you don't feel the excitement, you don't feel the novelty, you don't feel the interest in the world. Because of the same reason, because you displace them. You replace them, you'll find it's beautiful. Everything has to be replaced. That cold drink that you are drinking, if the cap is on that cold drink, then it's respected. But you remove the cap and left it out like that, is it interesting any longer? So that is the position of your topi and your garb. You got that topi and your garb, then everything is preserved in you. And you remove the cap. So it's not worth anything now. I offer you 20 liters of Coke. 21 liters of Coke, but I remove the cap for 24 hours. Are you going to pay 10 rands for that? I ask you. I remove the cap only for 24 hours. Are you going to pay 10 rand for that? You're going to pay. Because you know now, it doesn't have the value at all. The value is in its preservation. And the preservation is in the cap. So this is your cap. This is your cap. This is your cap. You got that cap, you got that value. You got that virtue. Everything is preserved. But you removed all that. Your values you removed. Now, is there any virtue in you? So if you get back to the original system, you want to enjoy, you want that happiness, you want that excitement, bring it into its right place. As Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah explains this incident, he says, man came in as a guest, see. So he stayed over for a week or something. And after the week, as it is, he overstayed, He's supposed to be staying one day or so, maximum three, but he overstayed, 1 week he stayed. And after he overstayed, then he comes to the host and he tells the host, you know what, you must be grateful to me. The host is getting a little bit kabarat now. The whole thing is turned around now, you know, everything is displaced. Who's supposed to be appreciative, who's supposed to be grateful, and who's not supposed to be? He's scratching his head now. He can't even tell the person because he has to be respectful towards his guest. Can't even tell him anything. See, thought for a moment, said, no, I think I need to be thankful to you because you gave me an opportunity to get so much of sawab, you know. I entertained my guest and I got, you gave me an opportunity to get sawab. No, for some other reason also, you're supposed to be grateful to me. He's thinking again, yeah, but what could be the second reason? I thought of one reason now. Oh, alright, you know what? You know, I had a guest, so my wife also works, I work also, so she also got some sawab, so jazakallah, on my behalf and my wife's behalf also. No, some other reason also you must be grateful for me, grateful to me. As you know, all my reasons, all exhaustion, what is the reason? So you know what? I could have burnt your house, I didn't burn your house. Hey, jazakallah, I'm very grateful to you. You see, the host is taking the position of the guest, and the guest is taking the position of the host. Woman is taking the position of a man, and man has to take the position of the wife. So is there going to be any pleasure? Is there going to be any excitement? Any type of enjoyment in life? Life is going to be destroyed. There's no enjoyment. If you want that enjoyment, bring it in its original place. Corruption is corruption. Fair play is fair play. Interest is interest, haram is haram, and halal is halal. Don't mix the both. For a little more, you want a little more, let me say it a little bit in a colloquial language, you want a few more bobs, do you want to bargain eternal sobs for that? Bargaining with eternal sobs for a few more bobs. A couple of millions, just go to the banks and all that, you get some things. You think you're getting pleasure. Really. The hadith says it very clearly, very, very clearly, that you're doing it with haram, then it is a provision for you to Jahannam. You're taking that additional thing, but what? What happened? What's happened to that man? It's a provision for you. It's a supply for your Jahannam. There's no barakat in that well. There's no barakat. Why? It's contaminated with haram. Because of the contamination, there's no barakat. You gave it for sadaqah, no sawab for you. Contamination. There's no barakat in your children for that. And on your side, on the future leg that you did all this corruption, whatever you did, there also there was problems, because there it was a provision for Jahannam. So anywhere did you gain? You gain on the hereafter, you gained here, in any respect you gain. Everywhere, all rounds you did. The right thing is contentment. So if you replaced or you displaced contentment with that crave for more and more and more, right? So this world is going to be ugly. You're going to feel discontented. You're going to feel dissatisfied. You're going to complain and shout and fight. You will never feel that level of satisfaction and fulfillment. You won't feel that happiness. But it's what you had bargained for. It's easy to throw blame. Isn't it easy to throw blame? Oh, he's a problem. He's a problem. This person is a problem. This person, yeah, he's the main problem. But I say Islam stands for individual responsibility. Did you assume any responsibility in this whole corruption that's going on? Did you also assume any part of the responsibility? So it's easy to say that. So anyway, we're talking about Muzaffar Hussain Saab, he's come here. So he says to his ustad, you see, no, I never say that Nawab Qutbuddin's food is haram. I never say that. And nor do I have this type of an opinion about him. But then why didn't you participate? Why didn't you come? So he says to the ustad, he says, you see, presently, this Nawab Qutbuddin is in debts. He's in the arrears, right? And when he's in the arrears, and he's arranging for a dawat, for a feast. When he's arranging for a feast, and he will do it at his level, it's Nawab style, Nawab, so he'll do it at a Nawab level. When he's going to do it at a Nawab level, so he'll have that type of Mercedes, etc. Like, you know what, to transport all the guests. Bring them and take them and all that, put them up in hotels and all, he would do all that at his expense. So if he had that type of wealth, wasn't it the right thing for him to settle his debts first? If he had that type of wealth, then Islam says you first things first. You want to do that dawat, then you can do it obviously, but do it after you have settled the debts. Now you haven't settled the debts and you're doing all this. Isn't this delaying the debts of the creditor? And the hadith says it very clearly, matlul ghani zulmun. Right? That to procrastinate, you got the wealth and you're delaying it. You're doing all these other things here and you're procrastinating it. The hadith says it's an act of zulm, oppression. And that oppressor's dua can't be accepted. You're oppressing and your duas are not accepted, number one. Number two, if I'm going to respond to this dawat, am I not an accomplice to the zulm as well? Not directly, but indirectly. I'm not an accomplice to this act of zulm. Because he's arranging for the dawat, I'm responding to the dawat. So, am I not an accomplice? I'm an accomplice to this. Why must I become an accomplice to wrong? Now, look at the ustad. Ustad, just now he was shouting, who? Mullah Muzaffar Hussain. Shouting, you know, what? Now, Qutbuddin also, his food is also haram. You know, daira, that taqwa is coming out of your ears, going out of proportion. And now, Ustad says, well, I'm not eating the food as well. Finish. You see that is a man of haqq. Just now he was supporting him, and he thought that what he was supporting was right. But when an explanation was given to him, and he felt that this explanation was right, now he's cut off, broken away. So this is what is called Millata Ibrahim Hanifa. That you stand up for the truth. You talk the truth. You be truthful. Then you don't mince your words. You know, this side or that side and compromising or no, it doesn't work. Either this way or that way. One friend was telling me, you know, that you can't say that I'm slightly pregnant. Can you say that? Can you say that? You're either pregnant or not pregnant. But if you say that I'm slightly pregnant, can that happen? Is it possible? You can't say that. So you either this way or that way. You either in Islam or out of Islam. And what Islam wants? Millat Ibrahim Hanifa. Absolutely break away from every system. Every evil, come on to the right. Come on to the right. Try your best. Squash yourself. Squeeze yourself. Don't squeeze Islam. Squeeze yourself to bring yourself onto Islam. But don't squeeze Islam to look for some type of permissibility, to look for some type of justification. So this is وَاتَّبَعَ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ دِينًا مِمَّنْ أَسْلَمَ وَجْهَهُ لِلَّهِ وَاتَّبَعَ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. This is one dimension that you break away from everything else and come on to the side of Allah. I say, on whose side you are? I'm on the side of Allah Pak. Right? On the day of Qiyamah, if Allah Pak were to ask you, what will you say? Whose side you were? Allah Pak, on your side. Straight away you say, without even thinking you will say that. Now can't you play it out here? Allah Pak, on your side. I don't want to hear anything else. Allah Pak, make us His side. Ulaika Hizbullah.